News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, we're going to start hour two of the El Paso History Show with El Paso History Moment, written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Can I say that any faster? El Paso History Alliance. And her story today is about a 4th of July in El Paso to remember.
A good old-fashioned 4th of July. July 4th, 1889, hundreds of El Pasoans board a chartered train and roll down the tracks to Oro's Grove in Yesleta, where the bachelor club throws a picnic. The elders dance, others engage in card games or play croquet while couples stroll through the shady groves. Men and women gather to chat and sip on cool lemonade, while small boys sneak into the nearby apple orchard to pick apples. Late in the afternoon, the weary merrymakers climb back on the train to return to El Paso, where they're greeted with a rousing band concert and a spectacular display of fireworks, celebrating our country's birthday. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online. There you were.
Yeah,
just standing there waiting for me. Yeah.
Inventory.
Hey, talk to me. History Alliance is on Facebook. How big a deal is that?
That's a big deal.
40,000?
More. Plus. I mean, it just keeps growing.
So Bernie's in the middle of that?
Well, Bernie and Max and Rick Kern helps out. We have a lot of people that do a lot of information, and people put their own stuff on, and it's just really nice. It's a nice little network of people.
At 581-7921?
I think so.
That's how you get home.
Is that my home phone?
Yeah.
I think so.
It is. Enough of that. But that was a good moment there. You had a nice, nice look at El Paso.
Can you imagine, though, taking a train?
Why not?
I would love to take a train to Cruces, to Alamogordo.
Alamogordo.
You know, just for the day.
A Tuesday night train.
I looked at taking
going up there for fireworks.
I looked at taking a train to Alpine.
Oh.
Once a week, and it would take me like once a week to get back.
Okay. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
as it is, we're back in the mode here of history on the radio program. We've got Chris is still here. Chris Orwell is still here.
I hope so.
And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You didn't go too far away.
No.
There you are. And the idea is there, New Mexico is the home, actually, of the origins, shall we say, of the American space race.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, it really is. So, you know, when you take a look at everything that occurred in kind of that southern New Mexico area, so with the early launches, you know, when you take a look at the astronauts being selected here in the United States, you know, that was done up at Loveless Clinic, you know, the testing that was done for them. The before Alan Shepard flies on his first mission, you know, we launched the chimpanzees into space, you know, so in Ham and Enos, who flew, Ham actually stands for Holloman Aerospace Medical, H-A-M.
It's know
not like that. Not like the luncheon meat kind of thing. So it was actually all capital letters, and it was an acronym. So a lot of people don't know that. And by the way, Ham is buried at the New Mexico Museum of Space History, so where we honor him.
In the
him.
Memorial he's, Garden?
No, he's actually right in front of the flagpoles, right in front of the sign that says International Space Hall of Fame. So is where Ham is buried.
Didn't they also train at Kilburn's Hole?
Yes, they did. They trained at multiple locations, you know, everything from the Boy Scout camps, you know, Philmont Ranch, you know, and all sorts of sites in New Mexico. But, you know, and then Kilburn Hole, not too far away from here, was another place where six of the Apollo missions, they came here and trained because, once again, you know, the volcanic crater kind of thing.
Oh, my God, Kilburn is a perfect place.
Yeah, trying to get used to you know, the what they were going to be looking for when they were on the lunar surface.
Well, also, they built stuff down in Houston. They had a couple of acres of a lunar surface down there, didn't they?
In actuality, that same location that they utilized that they built up, you know, pseudo-lunar surface is now being utilized. They've redone it, obviously, so for testing out Mars vehicles. So for the idea of a rover.
Swamp?
No, it's actually right there. It's
no,
right
I'm
there
kidding.
On Johnson. You know, some of the apartment buildings are right across the street from you. Can look down and see what they're doing.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the testing, it's you can actually see what they're up to there. You
All
know,
right.
So
the New Mexico Museum of Space History has got stuff in it we haven't even talked about.
We haven't even gotten into the building yet. Yeah,
no, you got Ham buried out by the pole. Now yep. Walk in. What do we see?
So when you go inside the museum, so we it's an 80-foot tall museum. Although we only say we have five floors, the ground, and then 1 through 4, and then each of the floors is split up with what we call an A and a B side. So there's 8 galleries essentially. So but you're going to see everything from, you know, we've got moon rocks from Apollo 17 that Jack Schmidt, a New Mexico astronaut, picked up and brought back to Earth. You know, Dr. Goddard's rockets and rocket components, Ham's training.
Oh, you got Goddard stuff?
We got some of Goddard stuff, you know. So once again, I told you earlier in the show where to go to see a really great collection of his stuff. But we've got, you know, a replica of his original rocket, the one that went into the Cabbage Patch, you know, and then we've got components from the actual rockets launched. We've got spacesuits worn up to the International Space Station, the Mir Space Station, on the Space Shuttle, in the Apollo program. We have got, my brain went blank there. It's really sad
so
that my brain went blank for a second.
Shall I tune into your website and
shuttle
just check
lander,
it out?
So we've got engines and missiles and rockets. We've got the inertial navigation system, one of only 2 remaining in the United States that's complete from the Apollo program. So it was called the PING system, Primary Navigation and Guidance System. There's one out in Massachusetts at MIT at the Draper Lab where they built it. And then we've got one because they were scavenged out of the spacecraft in the 1970s when there was a big beryllium recall, essentially, because of national defense issues. And they scavenged out the navigation systems from the Apollo spacecraft because they had a lot of beryllium on the inside of them. The one at our museum flew under the radar, though, because when it opened up, they wanted to get this guidance system put together. So they got the shell or whatever and some of the components that were in it, and then they got a bunch of other components from elsewhere. So there's pieces of that guidance navigation unit that's on display on the 3rd floor of our museum that flew on Apollos 13, 14, 15, 16 in Skylabs 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
So, but it's one of only 2 remaining that's complete. So.
Now, you also have the Hall of Fame.
Yes, we are the home to the Hall of Fame, the International Space Hall of Fame.
You are the home of the, because I've tried to get on the website and you're doing some work on that right now.
Yes, yeah.
But because I couldn't figure it out. It says the International. I thought, well, were you linked to another site? But this is the home.
Yeah, when the location started up in 1976, it started up as the International Space Hall of Fame.
Oh, cool.
And so it was purely built as a Hall of Fame. That's why the building's got kind of a quirky design to it on the interior.
It looks like a launch pad.
Yeah.
In
any case, yeah. So and the interior is set up really to be a Hall of Fame, not necessarily a museum. It actually has some quirks that make it difficult.
In case you just joined us, we're talking about the Space Museum in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about.
Yep. Yeah. So, and then it morphed into a museum in the 1980s, changed its name later on, but we still house the International Space Hall of Fame. For a long time, you know, there were big displays for each of the inductees, and then for a number of years, for kind of a couple decades, it went to just literally portraits of the inductees on the walls in relatively small frames. Now we're going back. We are changing the displays such that there are floor-to-ceiling background murals and that there are very large display plaques for each of the inductees. That work's being done right now. The first conversions are happening right now, just like a lot of other changes that are going on at the museum right now.
How many are in there?
So over 150, and one very large team. We inducted the DCX, the Delta Clipper Experimental Team, a few years ago. Last year, like I said, we did Gene Roddenberry, you know, years before that. So we've done George Lucas has been, you know, inducted. So along with, you know, folks who were involved with the XPRIZE launches and the Spaceship One and things like that. So because, you know, we're also honoring those folks who are currently doing things in the space realm. So Elon Musk from SpaceX, you know. So, you know, and you know, we have the connections with Spaceport America just on the other side of the mountains there from the Tularosa Basin. And interestingly enough, time-wise, it takes us longer to get to that spaceport than it does for us to get to the one in Van Horn, Texas, that Blue Origin, you know, is operating and
Amazon.
Doing their vertical launches. You know, and their vertical launches are based on the Delta Clipper experimental rocket that launched from White Sands Missile Range and that we have the remains of on display at the museum. So there's always a connection.
The Clipper is the one that would take off and you could land.
Vertical takeoff, and it would go up and maneuver around and then come back and vertically land, and it would have continued flying and doing exactly what you see SpaceX doing these days, with bringing the first stages back and landing them on Earth, you know, which is going to be a tremendous cost saving for their program.
Oh my gosh,
and what you
yeah.
see Blue Origin doing with their vertical takeoff and landing, single stage to orbit, you know, to orbit. So that's what the Delta Clipper experimental rocket, DCX, was doing, you know, back a couple of decades ago. And, you know, Pete Conrad was in charge, or was, you know, the astronaut was in charge of that program, and they launched out of White Sands. And sadly, on its final flight, and it wasn't supposed to be its final flight, sadly, somebody forgot to take a dust cover off of a hydraulic line, and so one of the four legs didn't deploy, so the rocket comes down, lands beautifully,
falls over.
And as soon as the engine shut off, it falls over and explodes. So yeah, it was a very sad
another
incident.
Acme rocket.
That was not plan A at all.
That was not plan A at all. So
it goes. Chris Orwell's here. We're talking space history in southern New Mexico, and that's where it began.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yep.
We were still going to, like we said, first hour, we're still going to claim the Germans slept here. Come on.
So, hey.
El Paso was part of it.
I always say the Southwest region, you know, we work with, I mean, we're doing tons of work with UTEP right now. So, I mean, we consider this one whole region, you know, that state border, you know.
Well, think like an Apache. It's all one region.
Yeah. It's just, you know, everything.
There's no lines at all here because we just run together totally. Yep. But I have to say, it's one thing that cracked me up is I've never lived in a place where you could actually call somebody a space cadet or a rocket scientist and actually be true.
Yeah.
It's not an insult.
There's tons of them around here.
Yeah.
And a lot of people claim that.
Yeah, I've known a couple, yeah.
Kids in school would tell my son, my dad's a rocket scientist, and the answer is yes, he was.
Yes, he really was.
He really was. There he is. Whatever. All right, Chris R. Walsh, what else do we need to know? How do we get there? I mean, Alamogordo up on the mountain, that's pretty obvious, but do you have programs for people to call and find out about tours or
things? Know, once again, the easy thing always is just to go to our website, first of all, nmspacemuseum.org, and that, you know, from there you can link in and find out, you know, because coming up first Fridays every month, we have what's called the Launchpad Lecture Series, and our curators or staff, myself sometimes included, are giving lectures on multiple different topics, whether it's women in space flight or the Russian space program or animals in space, or we got one on Jack Williamson coming up, and he was essentially, along with Robert Heinlein, essentially one of the great people at the beginnings of the sci-fi, you know, the writings of science fiction, so, and was one of the deans of science fiction, essentially, so. So we have those lectures. Any of the events that we've got coming up, you can do that, or call in to our front desk, 575-437-2840, whether it's for, you know, the Trinity launch site programs where we take buses of folks out to Trinity. So and we fill up, you know, either one or two 55-passenger buses.
We're
going to
claim some of that fame because we kept talking about you people.
Next year, I'm going out there.
On the street reporter.
That's right. I'm going to do a remote from out there.
Nuclear Melissa, where you go.
I'm going to glow in the dark. I'm going to go to find some of the
Have you actually been out there?
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
I've not. I've never been out there.
You've never?
No.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's always Saturdays.
Yep.
And I'm always sitting here.
I'm going next time. That's in October, right?
First Saturday in April or October. There's one coming up in October, and we just finished one in April where we took a busload.
Save me a seat, and I'll come out for the radio show, and we'll do a remote.
Yep, that sounds.
You probably can't get cell out there, but that'd be interesting to try.
Actually, you can.
You can. Uh-huh. Ah.
Yep.
See,
so
I can call in.
People know these things.
Interesting.
The museum is interesting unto itself, but the history is really the good stuff. I mean, we haven't even mentioned the fact that a space shuttle landed right there.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so, you know,
in front of your museum.
Almost. So right there at what it is now called the White Sands Space Harbor. At that point in time, there was just, you know, there was a landing strip out there out on the at the White Sands Missile Range. It was a backup to the landing site out in California at Edwards Air Force Base, and STS-3, space shuttle mission that was commanded by Jack Lausma. The conditions out in California weren't good for landing, so they delayed a little bit and then finally said, nope, we got to land it. Landed it there at White Sands Missile Range. They had some issues with the shuttle coming back, you know, because of the sands, and specifically, you know, all of the white sands.
The gypsum.
It got on the ground safely.
Yeah, it got on the ground safely. Although Jack Lausma, when you talk to him and his description of the landing was kind of harrowing, because coming in, you know, you got some wind gusts coming in, and if you actually go to YouTube and watch that landing, you can see him coming down in, the main landing gear touches, and then the nose is starting to come down, and all of a sudden you see the nose because of a gust of wind shoot up very quickly, and then bam, slam back down as he pushed the stick forward. So a little bit harrowing for everybody in NASA at that point in time. So,
or on the shuttle.
You know, not only did it land there, but the astronauts who flew the space shuttle, they had the shuttle landing, the shuttle training aircraft, the STAs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Guppy?
Yeah, so, the Guppy is the gigantic aircraft that has the strange-looking nose to it that actually can carry rocket components.
It used to be out at the airport.
Yeah, out here at the airport. The T-38's out here, right. But the shuttle training aircraft did all their training out here at White Sands, you know. So every astronaut who landed a shuttle trained here in New Mexico. So once again, you know, major connections to the space program.
Chris Orwell, Space History. We got more to talk about this hour. We're going to give away another Mannheim Steamroller American Spirit CD. Are you ready for that? Chris is ready
Sounds
for that.
Sounds good, yep.
Should we make up a question or should we just give it away?
Let's make them work for
Okay, but this time you're going to have a choice. You could have a Mannheim Steamroller American Spirit CD or Pepe's 20. We have one Pepe's left, I think.
Yes, and or a DVD.
Bunch of DVDs over here. So
Especially the V-Rocket.
V2 Rocket.
Actually,
you might want to think about that one because it's a full hour of video material. Silent clips, and there's one edited documentary about 13 minutes. But otherwise, they gave me footage. Maybe you should look at this. It's footage just out of Germany. Oh. We were launching stuff in Germany.
Yep.
And they just had it on the reel. I said, "Do you want it?" I said, "Sure." We threw it on. It's on the DVD.
It is. It's a cool. It is really cool.
It's especially different.
Yeah, I know. It'd be a great primer before going up to the museum.
You could look at that. And okay, so you got three choices here. What are the questions?
Okay, the question is: Dr. John Paul Stapp earned the title "the fastest man alive" when he rode the Sonic Wind 1 rocket-propelled sled in 1954.
Yes.
Now, how fast did he go?
Didn't we already ask that?
We asked about that one.
Nobody said anything?
And
you're looking for a miles per hour number?
A miles per hour number.
It would be something that he could say real easy, but he shouldn't do it.
Yes, because he knows his lips were pushed back on that one, and so were his eyelids.
His eyeballs went off the back of his head, I think. Sort of a John Wesley Harden move, if I may say so.
It reminds me of my days when I had my convertible and I was going way too fast.
Enough metaphors. What's the phone number here?
The number is 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Are you a mechanic looking to rev up your career? Maybe you're an electronic technician looking to amp up your career. Maybe it's time for a change. Halliburton, one of the world's leading and most respected oilfield service companies, is hiring mechanic technicians and electronic technicians for their equipment maintenance teams in the Permian Basin, Odessa, Brownfield, and Artesia. If you enjoy turning wrenches and get a rush out of working on powerful, high-tech equipment, these positions could be right up your alley. Halliburton wants to let everyone know they're back and ready to frack. To learn more about the company's mechanic technician and electronic technician job requirements and to apply, go to Halliburton.com/careers. That's Halliburton.com/careers. Mechanic and electronic techs may be considered for commuter roles or may be offered relocation packages. All hires receive Halliburton's world-class benefits package and opportunity for advancement. Apply today at Halliburton.com/careers. Halliburton is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-500-8121. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-8121. That's 1-800-500-8121. 1-800-500-8121.
Summer's here, and that means vacations, road trips, good times, and bad snacking. From greasy gas station chips to airport candy to whatever's on the plane for $12. Ouch. This summer, take NatureBox with you instead. NatureBox has over 80 sweet, savory, crispy, chewy, satisfying, surprising snacks under 200 calories per serving, with no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Asiago and cheddar cheese crisps with real cheeses, whole wheat chocolate chip cookies, Big Island pineapple made with only one ingredient, pineapple. And we're always adding more. So before you hit the road, stop by naturebox.com. With over 80 snacks under 200 calories per serving, we'll make this summer more delicious no matter where you're going.
Visit naturebox.com/radio and for a limited time, get a free box with four snacks. That's a $19 value for free. Visit naturebox.com/radio for your free box with four snacks today.
We here at iHeartRadio wanted to say thank you.
Why?
Because you've made us the number one rated music app in America. iHeartRadio is the only app with live radio, artist stations, and unlimited access to the hottest tracks for you to save right to your phone. We took everything you love about live radio, then added all the features a music fan needs. So if you haven't downloaded the app yet, come see what you're missing. Download the free iHeartRadio app or listen at iHeartRadio.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
By the way, those who wish to do so are going to Pepe's for lunch today. And Chris Orwell, what was that special that we did?
It was the red and green chicken enchiladas.
There you go. It's only $6 today. The Oñate special. Letting you know who's coming in here next week, July the 8th. We got Bernie Sargent. Oh. We've heard of him. To explain the National Day of the Cowboy and what El Paso County is doing on our local celebration in Anthony, Texas on July 22nd.
Right.
Many things are planned. And then the following week, Melissa Sargent and Rick Kern are going to host members of Spring Fire, an El Paso music sensation for many years.
That's going to be fun.
Now, July 8th, you want to embellish a little bit on what's going to happen on the 22nd is actually the Day of the Cowboy.
That's right. We're moving it to a later time in the day so it's comfortable and we won't be passing out from the heat. And we've got all kinds of great things. We're going to have musical entertainment. We're going to be showing old West movies that night, so it's going to be a fun family event. We'll have, I believe, a water feature for the kids. We're going to have people that are exhibiting talking about the history of the cowboy.
I want an ice feature.
I'm going to be sitting on a block of ice. And we're going to have, you know, just the gunfight reenactments by Six Guns and Shady Ladies. We're going to have food. We're going to have just a lot of things. Some wonderful exhibits, hay rides, petting zoo.
I want to build a corral out of ice.
That's right.
It might not take very long, but just go sit in there.
Yeah, no, igloo. Igloo.
Well, over your head, it's going to melt. It's going to crash. You know, I got a
there
problem
you go.
There.
You could do a rancho made
out of ice. Bernie said he'd do a corral. I need some ice.
I need a roof.
Three, four truckloads of ice.
But it's going to be a special event. It's going to be Anthony, Texas, and it's going to be at the Anthony Municipal Park. So it'll be a lot of fun.
It's
come
a
on out. That's right. We have a Facebook page, and it's for the National Day of the Cowboy, Anthony, Texas. So check it out, and you'll find out all the information. But we'll be talking more about it next week.
By the way, Andrea Kazmath won the Mannheim Steamroller CD earlier.
Has good taste.
However, we have another one to give away as part of this trivia question moment. We have the DVDs. You got your... What happened to the Pepe certificate?
I took that too.
Did you really?
No.
We may or may not have. Well, I think we got Pepe's.
We'll make it up.
You know, actually, if I just sign a piece of paper, Pepe will
honor it. He's a
cool
good
about
guy.
That. All right, we got on the phone here Garrett in the order that they call. Garrett's first. Hey, Garrett, what do you know today?
Well, not too much. I missed the segment that gave the answer. But since I got through, I might as well take a stab at it.
Okay, what was the question, Melissa?
So, Dr. John Paul Stapp earned the title of fastest man alive when he rode the rocket-propelled sled in 1954. How fast did he go?
I figure he didn't go supersonic, so I'm going to guess 750 miles an hour.
That's a close. You know, you could have looked it up by now.
Yeah, you could have Googled it.
Anyway, no, you missed it, Garrett, but thank you for playing, all right?
Thanks.
You take her easy. Thanks a lot. And we're going to keep the CD if this next person
and
doesn't get
it. And thanks for listening.
Oh, there's another one. We got Al on the phone. Al's on the radio. Hey, Al, how's it going?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
So do you
the
have
answer
the
answer? Your question is,
The answer to your question is 632 miles per hour.
A-H-I-A-L. He's a genius.
Now, you were listening, weren't you?
Yep, I was.
Yeah, I guess. See,
he's
that's
a
why we
smart
do this.
Guy.
Hey, now you got yourself a choice here. You got this here, got that there.
Mannheim Steamroller DVD
CD.
Or a CD, excuse me, or you have a choice of one of the El Paso Gold DVDs, which we were talking about, the V2 Rocket,
V2
which
Rocket's
is a really cool DVD, or $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's.
I'll
take one of the DVDs.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
How about the V2? You want to try the V2?
The V2?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
There you go.
Got it. All right.
It looks like we talked him right into it.
That's right. It's kind of like
his arm.
We're not telling you the other ones.
Look where we got to keep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I tell you what, Al. Shelley will come on the phone and tell you how to pick this up, all right?
All right. Very good. Thank you.
That's our
plan.
Thanks
for listening.
Thank you very much. If you don't follow our plan, you don't get the stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but I mean, she has to take the driver's license.
I know.
That's the only thing this station gets all bent out of shape.
Well, they
have
to anymore. I mean, rules are rules.
We don't mess with prizes, according
to that.
We learned that rule ways back. All right.
Slap our hand.
Well, we got through that somehow. Should we do something else now?
I think so.
We got to take another break is the point. I hate to do that, but... Chris R. Walsh here, and do you want to ask our audience any question? We ask them a trivia question.
How about maybe after we come back from the break?
Think about it.
There
we
go.
Because when we run out of trivia questions, we still have prizes. We get them to ask us stuff.
Yeah, because I've got some questions for him.
And it doesn't matter the answer. We give them the stuff anyway.
There you go.
All right. Nevertheless, come back in a minute. Call us up or Facebook us.
They can Facebook us at the El Paso History Radio Show because I'm going to get his picture up eventually.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also going to have the links to the museum as well as the phone number. So
sure
if they want to find out all the events.
Okay.
All right.
Phone number.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all. Plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
The Tom Russell song, Tonight We Ride, begins with Pancho Villa's famous ride into Columbus, New Mexico. Our ride isn't quite so famous, but it's a whole lot more fun. This weekend, the Harley Owners Group, better known as the Hogs, will meet at I-10 and Loop 375, then travel down Route 28 and follow it all the way to Columbus, New Mexico. For those who want to and have their passports, they can park their bikes on the American side and cross over to Palomas, Mexico and feast on truly authentic Mexican food. When you're in Palomas, not only will you feel cooler because you're at an elevation of 4,100 feet, you'll be cooler because you're riding a Harley. Heading back home through the pecan orchards, you can marvel at the fact that the Plain Jane pecans are the number one commercial food crop in the state. As always, the adventure begins at Barnett Harley-Davidson or when you click on BarnettHarley.com because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Don't miss the 4th of July sale ending today at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pick up 5 quarts of O'Reilly Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for $21.99 or upgrade to High Mileage Full Synthetic for $22.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
2 little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller, guaranteed. Viviscal is clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-347-5776. 800-347-5776. That's 800-347-5776.
So, how's the remodel going?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? My contractor is amazing. He's made the whole process so easy on me. It's like I've always said, it pays to look for the seal. Ladies, I am not kidding. I always look for the seal.
Oh, I know you do. I do too.
Me too. That's the truth. When we bought our car, we looked for the seal. When we were searching for daycares, we looked for the seal. I won't even buy shoes online unless I see the seal.
The BBB makes my life easier because I know I can always trust BBB accredited businesses. That's why I always look for the seal.
Thank you.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have arrived at that portion of our program where we decide to tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
The candidates are walking and hoverboarding door-to-door as the District 8 City Council race heats up.
Escape the summer heat. What's new in the lush mountain resort town of Ruidoso, New Mexico?
Go inside El Paso's new independent bookstore,
Literarity.
Oh, my God. Literarity is rare and unusual in its books. Ooh.
I didn't write that.
I know.
El Paso Inc. is online at elpasoinc.com and available for home and business delivery by
calling El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, El Paso's new city council, we talk to the new city representatives and discuss the challenges they'll face, including the city budget and the downtown arena.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, and just give them a call.
Scream out the door!
Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday, 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
Okay, I think the bar's been open too long already. I'm not sure what's going on in here.
I need to be there.
Oh, you haven't been.
I missed my Bloody Mary.
Yes, indeed. Melissa, you shall survive, I'm sure. Chris Orwell's here. We haven't talked about enough about this museum. There's more stuff in there we don't know about.
Oh my God, and a
planetarium.
Yeah, that's one of the key things that we haven't even covered yet is that 57 acres, three buildings on our main campus, and one of them is the Tombaugh Theater. And inside the Tombaugh Theater, we have the New Horizons, or the Tombaugh Building, excuse me, we have the New Horizons Dome Theater. We used to be an IMAX theater, and when we went digital, we didn't go with IMAX. We went with another company, so we went with Spitz, who does planetarium projection systems. And so
it looks pretty good.
But their planetarium projection system can also project giant screen films, just like the IMAX did. So
is it better than the IMAX? Perhaps?
Well.
He's got to be nice about this answer.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's different technologies and such as they go along.
The key thing is the IMAX, was designed, 1570, it utilized film that, was about, 2.5 inches
oh my
thick.
God,
a second was 6 feet long, The projector filled up the entire bottom of the theater. Two people to operate it, water cooled, very expensive to operate.
It could blow up any minute.
That was the 1980s technology. IMAX, same as everybody else, is getting, towards digital. Yeah. So, but in our situation, we decided to go with the same folks who had built our Starball, and we're now producing the star projector system that used to be in the middle of the theater.
Oh.
Literally a ball with a light in the middle that would put the light, put the stars on the dome, and then we had the giant screen film projector, and those were two different things. Now we have one projection system. It utilizes two projectors. They're laser projectors, 4K. And so the one that they installed at our place, that was the world's first 4K laser planetarium projection system.
Wow.
So it was installed at our museum just last year. So we're celebrating essentially our 1 year anniversary.
How's it look
right now?
How's it look?
Absolutely gorgeous. So, once again, you're not going to notice the difference, So the giant screen films are projected utilizing this, what we call planetarium films, like a giant screen film. That might be something from National Geographic, or it might be something for McGillivray Freeman like Journey to Space from K2 or any of those sort of things, travelogue type films that can be space or Earth.
You can play those?
Oh yeah, that's right now we're showing National Parks Adventure. So, and then today we're opening up Aircraft Carriers, which is an absolutely I saw it last night.
Cool.
It
planes
is absolutely
taking
phenomenal to see F-35s cat launching off of a carrier.
Are they doing it, showing cameras from the nose?
They're showing everything inside the aircraft, landing, taking off. But a lot of it also is about how the aircraft carrier works.
Yeah.
And how the people, get it going.
He's a career Navy guy. He's all excited about this film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
It's got submarines in it.
Yeah,
it's got
better.
Everything. So, but, we also then, not only can we use it to project films, and then planetarium films like stars, or black holes that we've had recently, which were narrated by Liam Neeson and from Star Wars, played Luke Skywalker. I'm just blanking his name. Mark Hamill.
Oh, okay.
Wow. In any case, though, and those are full dome films, and then we can do the star projections utilizing the laser system. But the neat thing is instead of you just being in one spot, kind of thing, like you had with the old Starball, Now we can take you anywhere in the universe, and we can take you to anywhere in the universe anytime. We can put you alongside Saturn looking back towards Earth sun or anything like that. So, I mean, that's the advantage of having a computer-controlled laser projection system.
And employees, minus one employee to run that
thing.
Yeah,
because you only need one person to operate the station.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you.
Not that we got rid of the other employees.
No,
we're utilizing it for other things
now. You sell popcorn now.
Let me ask you, if you're going to go to the museum, how long of an experience? Of course, it depends on how much time you want to put into it.
Yeah. 4 hours.
But if somebody wants 4 hours?
Minimum.
I would say if you're going to do everything, so you're going to want to inside the museum and the grounds, so seeing all the artifacts. That's going to take you an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then you're going to want to catch a star show,
right.
And you're going to want to catch a giant screen movie, whether it's a planetarium movie or a giant screen film, you know, depends what you want. Those are about 45 minutes each, so you filled up 4 hours very easily with bathroom breaks and trip to the gift shop you want to talk about t-shirts, we got some great ones,
that supports the museum too.
That supports our foundation, which supports the museum directly
now, and it's a day trip. That's a cool thing too.
Easily.
You're so close. That means nothing to
and
get up there,
and it's a perfect thing to do in conjunction with something else, you know. So come to us, you know, or go somewhere in the morning where it's nice and cool. And then when it's hot in the afternoon, come to us where we got the air conditioning and the theater and everything else.
I have to apologize. I've lived here over 30 years, and I've never been in the museum. And I will be there.
You shall be flogged later.
I will be in there 2 weeks with the grandkids. Trust me, because we're going to be staying up in Rio Doce for a couple of days, and we're going to take the kids there on the way up.
There you go.
And we get people coming from this area, from this area in West Texas, all the time, coming up to take advantage of the cool, you know, or the ski resorts, you know, or the cool summers up in the mountains, you know, and coming to visit us, et cetera. So, yeah, it's you know, 80% of our visitation comes from out of state. 95% of our visitation comes from outside of our own county.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, and our biggest visitation locations are Texas and Mexico. So, for visitors, you know, so, but we get them from all over the world, you know.
Cool.
And by the way, we're breaking 100,000 visitors this year for the first time in over a decade.
And she'll be 100,000 and
I hope
that's
so.
Next fiscal year.
And then
we ended our fiscal year yesterday.
Dang it. I was hoping so they could send me up in a rocket.
Count towards next year, you know, so we appreciate it.
You want to go up in a rocket?
Well, I figure, you know.
Oh, who wouldn't?
You want to come down, too?
My husband's always calling me a space cadet. So.
That's another matter entirely. Chris R. Walsh here. And the thing about this museum is it's a bit unusual because I think the next time you see something of this magnitude, you're in Houston or even in D.C.
You're going to have to hit Houston or California. So, or drive, you know, as far north, you know, up towards Kansas, the Kansas Cosmosphere and Space Center where I came from.
Which is where you were from.
Yeah, which is where I was from, is another fantastic museum. But those are kind of triangle out from us are the biggies.
But this is where it happened, though.
Yeah,
that's the difference
is that we've got where it happened. You know, you only have anything like that at Kennedy Space Center, where they launched, you know, so much from, and they have a great, great thing there, you know, and then here is where it happened.
Let me ask you, now you've got the Great Southwest Uneclipse RV Rally in August. That's a 3-day event.
August 21st this year, there's the eclipse, so many people traveling for the eclipse, you know, to get in the pathway of it. That kind of goes from Washington all the way down to the southeast.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're just trying to set up a RV rally for, you know, folks who want to come and park at our location, you know, and camp out there with that beautiful view of the Tularosa Basin. In this area, we're only going to get about 60-65% of the eclipse, you know, that they're seeing, you know, totality in the middle of the country kind of thing. Our time will come later. But in any case, so we're just doing something where we're going to have education and fun activities for these folks, you know, the sort of things that we do during camp, but we're going to do them for adults that are here for the RV rally.
You can't involve alcohol, can you?
We can in the evening. So yeah,
changes the equation there.
So yeah, there's we facilitate all sorts of stuff as part of this. Not while we're launching the rockets or
not
things
a good
like
idea.
That. Yeah,
don't mix that.
Mixing. Well, alcohol and rockets do go together. That's
it's
what,
a different
that's
matter.
What was in
just
the
V2,
but that was
type
actual
of alcohol.
Different matter
yeah.
entirely.
They're yeah, different. Drinking and then launching the rockets. That's a bad idea.
I think that's maybe what some of those Germans did. I'm not totally sure, but they
jungle
did
punch. Yes,
yeah.
they lost the war, so there must have been something going on there. Anyway. Well, Chris R. Wall, what else do we need to know about this museum here? Because it is the one place in the area Well, you sort of feel like you're in a national museum.
Yeah, it's and interestingly enough, you say that, but we're accredited by the American Alliance of Museums, and we're also a Smithsonian affiliate.
Yeah, I was just going to say
one of only a handful of museums that have those two accreditations essentially. So we are affiliated with the Smithsonian. That's why we fly the Smithsonian affiliate's flag in front of the mm-hmm. museum, right above where Ham is buried. You know, once again. So, but in any case,
I'm still working on that one.
Yeah. Okay. So in any case, we do have. Have that our collection, the objects that you're seeing, some of them are ours, but a lot of them belong to the National Air and Space Museum or the Air Force or the Navy or NASA. In fact, we actually are in the process. We're getting collections. We just brought in over a couple hundred of objects from Johnson Space Center.
Oh, how cool.
And we're about to bring in another couple hundred objects from Marshall Space Flight Center. And we are right now the recipients of, we're going to get about 90% of the collection of a private space collector out in California. Who is donating, like I said, 90% of his collection to us. We brought out 4 26-foot truckloads so far, and we haven't made a dent in his warehouse.
26?
Conservatively valued at $12 million, but it's probably going to be well beyond that by the time we value everything.
What's he got over there?
Tons of stuff. Everything from the camera that flew with Wally Schirra on his Sigma 5 mission in the Mercury program to a full-size Mariner spacecraft down to things
as
test panels that were utilized to test the Viking spacecraft.
Hey, did he buy that at government surplus?
A lot of it, yes.
I'd like to have a spaceship.
In any case, though,
and we're working with him. Two of the objects that he donated to us were the hydraulic actuators for the elevons, the control surfaces on the space shuttle, the inboard and outboard elevons. Now, those came into play when we were working with Danny Olivas, an El Paso astronaut, mm-hmm. Whose collection is also at the museum, and some of the mm-hmm. pieces of his stuff. Right when you walk into the museum, boom, there's Danny's spacesuit, his flight suit, excuse me. So right there. But we were working with him and UTEP. They have a place called the Center for the Advancement of Space Safety and Mission Assurance Research. Run by Darren Cohn, and great program for undergrad and grad students, and they're doing tremendous research. They're doing forensic analysis of the Columbia space shuttle, the remains of it from the accident, and they are rewriting some of the story of that phenomenal research. Oh. And Danny, Darren, the team, and I are all working together right now on exhibits and stuff. We just briefed the center director at Kennedy Space Center on what we're doing, and we're going back there on July 13th. To meet with the folks in the Columbia office there, but those two items that we've got that came from that collector in California are being utilized now by CASMAR alongside the pieces from Columbia that are the same ones that they had no access to original ones before, and now they do on this museum, university, research, NASA partnership. So this is how it all relates together.
Amazing.
So you guys have a bunch of stuff donated to you, mm-hmm. and then you loan it out to somebody else.
Right now, yeah.
And then you have to keep track of it or they'll keep it.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah,
you got their stuff, and they're keeping track of you because you'll keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I bet you would.
So everybody keeps track of everybody else. So.
And the nice thing is, like you said, you can go to NASA in Houston. Mm-hmm. You can also go to Kennedy, or you can go to the Smithsonian. But the nice part is you're right here local.
And we have some different stories. You know, I mean, if you want to see the original Apollo 11 spacecraft, you're not going to come to our museum to see that.
No.
You're going to go to the Smithsonian in D.C.
Exactly, which I've been to.
If you want to see the launch pads or mission control, you're going to go to Johnson or you're going to go to Kennedy. So if you want to see Sonic Wind 1, if you want to see a Little Joe 2 rocket, if you want to see where Ham's buried, Ham's training caps or whatever, come to us. You know, so we've got the stories of America's space program and international stuff. We have international objects as well.
New Mexico was the location for the space race prior to it being political.
Yeah, to a point. That might be a good way to put it. Yeah.
I mean, that was where the space race really should have been all along because that's where things were going on.
Yeah, so.
Oh, no, we got to take care of Johnson and the Space Center.
We're pulling it back now with Spaceport America and what's going on over in Van Horn with Blue Origin.
Yeah,
cetera,
you're in the middle
of
it. All right, Chris Orwell's here for another segment. We'll be back in a moment and talk more about that. Shall we take a break here?
I think
Call us up if you have one question. This is your chance.
Yes, 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Bryce's lifeless body slumped over the piano keyboard. His forehead played a dissonant chord that reverberated throughout the hall. Not his best performance, I thought. I opened the back of his neck with my screwdriver. A couple of fresh bars of lithium brought him and the music back to life. I am sure that someday he will do the same for me.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
Summer's here, and that means vacations, road trips, good times, and bad snacking. From greasy gas station chips to airport candy to whatever's on the plane for 12 bucks. Ouch. This summer, take NatureBox with you instead. NatureBox has over 80 sweet, savory, crispy, chewy, satisfying, surprising snacks under 200 calories per serving with no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Asiago and cheddar cheese crisps with real cheeses. Whole wheat chocolate chip cookies. Big Island pineapple made with only one ingredient, pineapple. And we're always adding more. So before you hit the road, stop by NatureBox.com. With over 80 snacks under 200 calories per serving, we'll make this summer more delicious no matter where you're going.
Visit naturebox.com/radio. And for a limited time, get a free box with four snacks. That's a $19 value for free. Visit naturebox.com/radio for your free box with four snacks today.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than on any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection, and Match is not only number one in first, but second dates, too. Now, here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/AM for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/AM. That's match.com/AM. Match.com/AM.
Little Caesars, the home of the large hot and ready pizzas, like the classic pepperoni for $5 and the deep, deep dish pepperoni for $8. And don't forget the crazy bread. All this and more at Little Caesars, plus tax at participating locations.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
With all this history of space going on, let's bring you down to earth here. Next week, Saturday, July the 8th at 2 o'clock, El Paso Museum of Archaeology. They're a very busy crowd out there. They're going to have a collaborative program with Waco Tank State Park and Historic Site. They're bringing in a dude from the Big Bend of Texas, and they have rock art down there. So they're bringing in a Texas Parks and Wildlife guy named Tim Gibbs, and he's assigned to the Big Bend region. He's going to come in here and tell us stuff that he's found down there. To get more involved in that out there, what you need to do is get a hold of George Maloof III. Can you imagine there's been three of them?
Three of them.
Well, this one, when you go out there and you look wandering around and you see a guy who looks like Dumbledore.
Yeah.
That's him. That's George. So anyway, Museum of Archaeology, get a hold of George, 755-4332. And they got lectures going on all the time, so we're going to talk about them. That's historic stuff.
That's
so,
right.
What do you got? Anything
well, I wanted to give a holler out to our usual friends out there at Remember in El Paso When, and they're a Facebook page that has gazillion pictures on El Paso when.
They are our official archive department.
Yes, they are. And any time you're looking for pictures, and not just El Paso, but Mexico, New Mexico, the region.
Mexico.
And New Mexico, the other country. And
yeah, New Mexico is its own state.
Yeah, we need a newer version. Yes, we need a different passport for New Mexico. just read the back of New Mexico magazine with all the stories. And they do some wonderful things with the posting of pictures, and people post pictures, and God knows how many members she's got on that now. It's over 30,000,
I think.
Oh, God, something. And she's just a wonderful photographer. And Barbara Givenbaney, and she's just always working, and Mario
Robles.
And
busy crowd
doing things, just keeping history alive.
Boy, it's easy enough because they got these old pictures from everywhere.
Oh, I know.
Do you all have an archive section? You must have something.
Oh gosh, yeah, we have two buildings. We have on the campus.
Chris Orwell, by the way, here from the Museum of Space.
New Mexico Museum of Space History.
Almogordo.
So we have an archives building on the campus where we have a library. We have a paper archive. We've had to expand it quite a bit because of these new collections coming in. So
how do you get in there to look at stuff?
You just contact our curatorial department. So you would call our number, you know, which you can get on our website, or, you know, 575-437-2840 and ask to talk to the...
Slowly say
excuse me, 575-437-2840.
Which I have put on the Facebook page, as well as the link to the website.
But you got archive stuff, not just museum stuff.
Yeah, they get in touch with our curators, so, and they can find out, you know, if we have information on something that they're looking for, if we have objects that they're interested in. Plus, we also have a warehouse on the other side of town where we have large objects. You know, we've got a Redstone missile out there. You know,
any Nike Ajax out there?
No. We do have one on display at the museum, though.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yep. You got one.
Yes, we do have one. We don't have one in storage. So currently we're working on a restoration of one of the JB2 Loons, essentially the V1 equivalent from the Germans.
Uh-huh.
So that's getting restored and will be put on display here very soon.
It's fun to watch him rattle this. He's not reading notes over here.
I know.
He's just got this JB stuff going on.
He's enjoying what he's doing.
And we also just got, not too long ago, one of the Rover concept vehicles from the National Air and Space Museum, and we're going to be restoring that one. It was the same one. It was the same company that did the final version of the Rover.
Okay.
It was GM, plus also some of their subcontractors. And it's a gigantic version of it, because originally they were planning on the astronauts driving around the moon for a while.
Oh.
So, but the concepts that were utilized in this were what was then used in the final version of it. So it's neat to see a big version of it. And we'll have that on display here probably in about another year.
Give
or so.
Rides.
Yep,
you need to give rides.
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
You make a lot of money on that.
Yeah,
one.
No kidding.
Now,
yep.
the ARC has to be available for students. Come in.
Students, I mean, researchers, yep. Anybody
high school,
who wants
junior.
To work, yeah, just they'd be under supervision, you know, unless they're a professional, quote unquote, if there was a student. Plus, we have volunteers who come in and work on this stuff. We have volunteers who work on cataloging items, who work on cleaning, restoring, who also work on the library and the archives, et cetera, et cetera.
What a great way to see all the information.
That's a great way to get involved with us and to come up, you know, even if you can just give us 4 hours a week or, you know, whatever. So we take anything as far as that goes.
That's true of all volunteer programs.
We've got to do a background check on
you, but, you know,
so. Stuffing them in your shorts.
Watch out for that.
Yep.
You do have a volunteer program as well?
Yes, we do. Yep. So, and once again, you know, our curator is currently the one who's in charge of that. So if you just, you know, called up and asked for the curator, she will give you kind of the list of different things that you can do, whether it's docent activity, whether it's working in the, you know, in the archives or something like that. So, I mean, we have people come up and volunteer to do landscaping.
And then also, every once in a while, you guys shoot rockets.
Yeah, so during camps we shoot rockets, you know, so when we do adult programs, when, you know, schools come up, we came down here to El Paso last year, and the school program, or the schools here, had us come down and do a huge education programs where we launched rockets all over this area as well. So, yeah, there's a bunch of them in the trees around here that was still probably that we launched during
that
program.
Not that many trees,
so,
but yeah.
Yeah. So, but in any case, so, yeah, we do all sorts of stuff like that.
And again, the phone number to just call up and get any information,
575-437-2840.
You know, one of the things I noticed, I'm looking at the webpage, and you've got things hanging from the ceiling, which one thing that really impressed me, I walked in the Smithsonian, was all the plane, the Wright brothers, and you know, all that. But you do have a naval, it's a drone, if I'm correct.
No, not a Navy drone. So that was actually an Air Force unit. So
you're right.
He took that personally.
Yeah. Well, no.
I'm sorry.
I get it. You know. So I live in an Air Force town now. So
you do. And not a lot of water there, Mr. Navy
no,
man.
No, but there is a ship in the Tularosa Basin.
Is it?
There is Desert Ship out at White Sands Missile Range, which was actually started
the one they used to test stuff
right after the range. You know, and the Navy started operating out of there and still does. Tons of amazing.
We need a ship out here.
So
yes,
LCC landlocked ship.
There you go.
So is what they call it, LLS-1. So, but in any case, you know, so we do have items hanging from the ceiling.
What is that?
Actually is a drone that was launched out at White Sands. At Holloman Air Force Base.
To sum it up, you need to go visit this place in Alamogordo. It's the one up on the hill. Fireworks big time Tuesday night.
Yeah, big time. But you got to be a member. You know, individual memberships, $35. Family membership, $75.
But you can sit down at the Denny's and watch it for free.
Yeah, you can sit down at the Denny's.
Yeah,
better views at the museum.
Yeah, of course.
Become a member. Yeah.
Chris Orwell, thanks for coming in. Linda, thank you for taking care of him and bringing him down
here. I think
we
need to bring him back.
Everybody else is going to go to Pepe's. You're not going to go to Pepe's today?
We're going to go to Pepe's.
Sergio, go to Pepe's with us. God, we'd love to have you.
Forget the next show.
How the heck with them. They don't care. In the meantime, we'll see you all next week here, right here on the El Paso History Radio Show. EPHistory.com.
That's
details on the radio program.
You got it.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.